So we can, I am calling this meeting to order at 6:03. So we can stand to the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Yeah. And is Valerie on?
She is.
Okay,
I'm
Valerie,
here.
I think we had one public comment, unless there's anyone from the floor who wanted to add, but right now we have.
Yeah, of the public comments I've received, I've forwarded them to the rest of the board, but no one that submitted comments to me has asked that I read them or otherwise, there's anything else on them. So
Okay.
you are what I have.
So it wasn't something that was to be read. Are there any other public comments at this point from the floor? You see any hands or anything? Because I can't see. Can't see. I'm running blind. Sorry, folks. If someone has a public comment, just jump in. You have 3 minutes. Oh, here we go. That's better. Finally, my computer caught up with me. Okay, I don't hear any comments. So let's move on to our order of business. We have the minutes of the last meeting, which everyone should have received a copy. Do we have any corrections or additions to the minutes? Any corrections or additions?
Just a minor spelling under the Greek program. The E and the B and the word B is transposed, but other than that.
Okay, under Greek program, Ken, there's a E and B, a typo under
Yeah, it should be BE, not
one
EB.
number. What number is it? His number's not. No, he doesn't. It's one that starts with the Harvard Hellenic Studies. There's just a little typo in there, so we can have that corrected. Any other
One
corrections?
second.
Any other corrections? Okay. Okay.
Motion.
All in favor, go ahead and have a motion, please.
Motion to approve the minutes from last month's meeting, February 15th.
Do I hear a second? Out loud?
I second.
Second.
I second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Wonderful. Motion carried. Okay, and then we'll have our head of school report.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I am going to try to project this. Let's see how that works out. That's it right there. Okay, so head of schools report. It's going to look a little bit different this time. I'm going to do some quick updates. We did meet with parent council yesterday. To go over the successes from preview day. Preview day was an amazing organizational event. We had thousands of people here, hordes of people here, by far the largest event that we've ever hosted with families. It was really wonderful to see. And after that, we went over things that we could do to improve for next year to make it even better. We got some feedback. We also created a survey that's gonna go out to the families that attended and to the families that didn't attend. Tell us what else they would like to see in that particular event. But it was quite a success, and we're really excited about the future of that event. I thank everybody, including the parent council, the administration, the staff, especially our students, because they were so instrumental in making sure that they got other students here, and they represented the clubs very, very well. So we really, really appreciate that. A special shout out to our business interns. If you guys wouldn't mind coming up over here for a moment. these two gentlemen over here that are coming up, let me stop my share for a second so they make sure that we can recognize them. They worked tirelessly to promote the event, to get other students to come to the event, create flyers for us, run back and forth between the buildings to support during the event. And if it wasn't for their contributions, we definitely wouldn't have seen the success that we did. So thank you. So I'm going to move on. Typically what I do is I read that particular report. Today I'm going to take a different phase, and you're probably going to hear a little bit of a different version of me that you usually hear. So I thank you for the opportunity to do this. And so I'm going to be providing some context on some things, on some steps moving forward. When I arrived here in in January of 2021, my team and I together identified some very key and important factors that needed to improve immediately for Odyssey Charter to have the brightest possible future. As it stood, Odyssey Charter had a full K-12 system in place with a graduating class, but was under-enrolled in our high school by over 220 students, which means that we were 220 students short of having a full program at the time. While that being the case, we still ran our matrix and our schedule as a full-fledged school. Coupled with that, for those of us that maybe don't know how charter schools work, we run a $3 million annual debt service that we pay, which is not paid for by the state. That debt service is to be the owners of the Barley Mills Plaza that we are. So when you couple those two things together, the school's operating against extremely thin margins, and I'm going to emphasize extremely thin margins, that could have made the long-term sustainability of this school a tremendous factor. In fact, when I arrived at this organization, the initial proposed budget for 2021 included a $1.1 million spending deficit. $1.1 million spending deficit. To address the needs of the school at the time, I devised a plan to aggressively enroll our high school while also creating specific opportunities to improve our balance sheets and bottom line. This plan thus far has led to increases in enrollment in our high school from approximately 280 students to 468 students next fall, very close to our full sustainability numbers. Essentially, we've been able to wipe out our deficit, increase the profile of the school, and create future opportunities for us. Additionally, the school has managed to increase the amount of grants earned and the dollar amounts of grants earned by over $1 million in just this year alone. Added to these moves, the school has increased its transportation capacity. Since I've arrived, we have purchased 12 more buses, allowing for us to independently meet the needs of all of our students while also running bonus routes, paying off the cost of the purchase of these buses, and setting up the organization for an added influx of revenue upwards of north of $1 million by the end of 2024. And that would be annual income. In doing so, we've progressed fiscally and financially as a school that at first, from a credit perspective, was ungradable in 2015, which basically means we were unable to obtain public investment, to now approaching investment grade, triple B rating plus, in January of 2023, which makes us not only capable of getting public funding, but getting the kind of interest rates that aren't even out on the marketplace, below market value interest rates. Academically, when I arrived at Odyssey in January 2021, the school was completely shut down and operating only online. Understanding the best way to educate kids is to have them live and in person with their teachers, we swiftly moved to open the school up and restore confidence in the community that Odyssey is an innovator and a viable option for all Newcastle families. We were one of two schools statewide who partnered with the state to offer the BD Veritor antigen testing, the first of its kind, allowing for us to safely bring our kids back. The decision allowed for us to set up and fast track our learning loss recovery, which is evidenced in our data that I shared two board meetings ago that indicated our rate of recovery academically is accelerating 40 to 80% faster than other schools across our state. Synergistically, our school leadership team devised a 3 to 5 year plan for sustainable enrollment modification that we vetted through our stakeholders and was approved by our board in December of 2021. In May of 2021, we received the full support from the state with no qualifiers and unanimous approval to execute this plan. While executing this plan, the school has been able to move its enrollment from to 2,123 students today. Create a budget that has built confidence in our investors and local philanthropic organizations who have given us the go-ahead to pursue new organizational asks for the first time in several years, specifically the redesign of Building 27, which we do have the support of in principle from our philanthropic community. And we've improved our academic program, adding Honors Academy to eighth grade and significantly increasing our offerings of AP honors classes, CT pathways, and dual enrollment courses. As a result of all of these successes, and as I mentioned above, there's significant interest now by lenders to invest back into our school with the potential opportunity to refinance our bonds well ahead of their maturation date at rates that are most competitive. This is yet another achievement of this school, which has been actively seeking such opportunities since last year. And now the opportunity is here before us. And because of the deliberate and consistent actions of the school, we are positioned to take action. Knowing what we know about the current landscape of financing, with two banks recently failing just last weekend, and with liquidity in markets and state revenues becoming a concern, consumer confidence dropping, it is my opinion, my humble opinion, that the time to act is right now. And the time to begin our Fields project as the first move towards long-term sustainability must be completed now. Why? Well, first, because our chief competitors, who are becoming more vulnerable these days as tuitions continue to rise and the consumer confidence index lowers and people's discretionary spending lowers, our competitors are much more vulnerable, but they have the types of facilities that we don't have. And we need these to compete, recruit, and retain properly. Secondly, the project has a quick turnaround time and comes at a cost that is far less than any other project that we've proposed in the past, including the former project of a gymnasium, which in this day and age would cost us upwards of $6 million. And in its current plans would not be a sustainable building that would be able to host DIAA events. The Grail, which is where we have our events right now, which is our gymnasium, we've been able to secure exclusive rights, meaning that allows us to offset the costs and maintain our liquidity by being able to sublease as well, with two current lessees in the building at the time. The move will have an immediate impact for our students and our community at large, while we become one of the best facilities in the state, attracting attention both for our facilities and aligning with the current improvements we've seen in the area around us where Wegmans is in the shopping center. The school immediately becomes a one-stop shop for parents who have their kids in sports and other extracurricular activities, while providing a place for them to shop, enjoy food, and enjoy fellowship. Meanwhile, our facilities are being used by private clubs and local schools from this development, again, helping to maintain their long-term sustainability, our liquidity, and our role in the community as a leader and a beacon. With such a project, the school becomes the beacon for North Wilmington, which will positively improve our retention rates, our recruitment for new students, and our overall enrollment. As more resources pour into this organization, the increased liquidity and flexibility will allow us to invest in our students, our prized possessions, our highly successful Greek and Green programs, our teachers and staff, who are to thank for everything that we've been able to accomplish thus far, and of course, our innovative state-of-the-art facility. Our school attracts students from all over Newcastle County, providing balanced, well-supported classes that will lead to the best outcomes in the state. Should we choose not to act, will not be available in the near future, if ever again. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Pappas? Anyone have any questions for Mr. Pappas? Okay, so I know we talked about how much the project is going to cost, but can we go over that again?
Yes, currently it's hovering around $3.5 million.
Okay.
And it would be a sustainable facility to be able to host high-end events statewide, even outside the state area, and would allow us to be able to host our own internal events and host multiple events at the same time. Featuring lacrosse.
So it would be a revenue stream.
It would be a revenue stream as well.
And we determine like an estimate of what type, how much we could.
The initial hope is to be able to sustain it so that any debt service that we would have incurred, which we wouldn't with a bond refinance anyway. So that's a key piece to this whole puzzle as well. It would be able to pay for that in and of itself if you were to project it as its own financing term. However, with the way that we have this offer set up right now, we would be able to have the immediate financing available for this project at no bottom line cost to us from the current debt service that we have.
So pretty much it wouldn't cost us anything because we're going to be refinancing, adding more money, and paying the same as we are now or less?
Correct.
So the same, okay. And including how much would we be adding to the current loans?
Anywhere from $3 to $6 million.
Okay. All at the same cost point.
Right. It would allow for us to immediately become a top competitor in the state. And I would like to emphasize that in none of this that I talked about did I talk about sports. This is not a decision based on sports or my desire for one academic program over another. It is a desire to create the top school in the state. And I believe that we have the mechanism to do it. We have the real estate to do it. We are in the right area code. And the time is now, because the time is now.
So what are we buying for the $3 to $6 million?
We are gonna be resurfacing all of the fields that we have right now. That's only one field into three fields with the stadium on one side and two auxiliary fields as well, which would create a stadium and then two other fields so you can have multiple sports going on or tournaments going on at the same time. No other facility has that bandwidth at this time. It would include field hockey. It would include lacrosse. It would include soccer and the potential for football at a later time if we wanted to do it that way as well. And it also does not change the creative output of the school at all. For example, if in 10 years the strategic plan were to change and we wanted to turn into a virtual reality lab and build a huge empire over there in that building, you would just be taking carpet off. You're not making any physical changes to the property. It's just an improvement.
And the rehab of building 27 is part of this, or that's separate?
It's part of it. It wouldn't be in phase one. The phase one would be these right now, because this is a shovel ready project. And it doesn't require large, storm mitigation or other environmental factors that would get in the way of a larger project.
And you're going to go into more detail about the bond restructure, whatever we're doing with it.
I was going to talk a little bit more about that during the financial.
Okay, that's fine. Does anyone have any other questions for the head of school? Any other questions?
We talked, I think Papa said to increase the students 2,000, but there's no plan to double the size of any of that in the future, right?
No, the modification ends in another, what is it, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Another year and a half. And that would essentially take us to, once you have a fully fledged school in every component, and by my definition, once you move out of the lower school, that the average would be between 24 and 25 kids in 5 cohorts. So in any one building, you're looking at approximately 500 kids or more.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
The community likes, I mean, this size for like Odyssey.
Right.
So I was a little bit nervous that's getting bigger than the interest right. would be lower. So,
and our intention is to maintain the small classrooms and the personal touch that we have and not grow to that extent.
Right. Right now, we're making up a deficit of 250 kids that we have. That's hitting our bottom line. And when you add that to our debt service, which is another $3 million, it's a huge setback for the school to be able to create balanced budgets with that kind of deficit every year. That's why when I got here, we were running a $1.1 million deficit in our operating budget. But we've been able to turn all that around in 2 years while now having a positive budget and without having to change very much of the quality of our education at all.
Okay. Any other board members? Okay.
When do the term sheets from the lenders expire?
We have time. The formal term sheets haven't been provided yet. And I can talk a little bit about more about the details of what our options are.
But Aaron asked a good question, because even the offers that we have as they stand now are not guaranteed in a month or even 2 months, because the market dictates that and the liquidity in the market is changing daily. And all of us know that. So from my lens, it is extremely urgent that we operate under those premises.
I think we can parallel path a couple things. I think there are board members who haven't had the full chance of being able to understand and reflect on this. And I think we need to give folks time to do that. At the same time, there's no reason why we couldn't move forward to get term sheets without having a board vote and then bring back the options for the board to consider soon. I will say, you know, I think the economic pressures on a macro level and the sort of financial realities of the way that the school was expanded are correct. There are other things I think that are stressing, and Elias, I think we talked about this in our last meeting, stressing parents, families, and staff that we need to address urgently to make sure that folks are aware that we're not just saying, hey, we're going to expand and look long-term, but we're also addressing some of the stressors like discipline and support for staff and support for students and things like that. So I think we need to also hear, and I'm sure you'll be sharing that, but more about those items as well.
Thank you, Aaron. Any other comments from the board? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pappas.
I'd like at this time to call up the our BPA students who have some very exciting news for the board.
Do you want to share it? It's for the sharing.
I'm going to let you do the screen sharing. Or are you
on? It's on board.
Oh, it's on the board report.
Yeah. Okay, give
For those who don't know, BPA is Business Professionals of America. Of America.
That's correct.
It's Business Professional. Was that? You know, find
screen share. Screen share.
All right. We made it back. High school.
We're there.
All right. So I have the pleasure of calling Tolerant some of our students today. And if students, if you want to just come in and kind of file in front of here as I call your name, and then I'm going to be sharing all of your placements from the state competition. So here today with us is Eamon Ahmed. Dakshi Kaushik, Jalali Aguar, Shivam Patel, Solomon Chowdhury, Amani Adiogu, Mariki Antone, and last but not least, Noah Britsky. We also have three students attending via Zoom who are Rishi Patel, Anvita Dendalori, and Arjun Kumar. And then their teacher and leader for this program is Ms. Jackie Brandt. So these students before you and the students online had a fantastic showing at the recent state competition. Our award winners are as follows. You guys can wave as I say your names a million times.
And turn around so
they can say hi to the board.
Well, they can't do the one.
So the first, so podcast production team won first place. That's Shivam, Salman, and Jalali. Sure, we can stop sharing. Sure.
I can see them.
All right. In payroll accounting for fifth place, Salman.
Oh, yeah.
For fundamentals of web design, first place was Asa. And also rounding out the top five in state, Amani and Dakshi. Our website design team won second place. That's Asa, Dakshi, Mariki, and Anvita. Our graphic design promotion won second place. That was Anvita. Presentation management won second place. That was Mariki. Personal finance management won first place. That was Shivam. Fundamental word processing won first place. That was Eamon. Advanced office systems and procedures, second place was also Eamon. Health administration procedures won fourth place, and that was Druby. We had a small business management team that was in the top three in the state. That's Noah, Arjun, and Rishi. And then finally, we had a lot of students winning the Torch Awards. So at the diplomat level, that was Eamon, Elena, Noah, Nietzsche, Arnav, Asa. And also we had two win at the statesman level, which was Noah and Nietzsche. So all of these students have qualified to the BPA Nationals, which are being held April 26th to 30th in Anaheim, California. We have a record of 15 people traveling to Nationals this year. Wow. Yeah, and these are just high school students.
Wow.
Yeah, congratulations, BPA.
Alex, well, I hope we're going to get some of those web designers working on our website.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We need your genius.
They actually are.
That is wonderful.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Great job, guys.
I know my audio is terrible, but really impressive job, guys. Awesome job.
Karen said congratulations. No one can hear that.
And while I'm up here, I'll just do the rest of the high school updates. So all of our high school students have completed their course selection process for the 23-24 school year, as well as all current OCS 8th grade students. So we brought all the 8th graders that are here in this building over to the high school. So thank you to Ms. Rodriguez for coordinating all of that. We have added a number of courses for students in the upcoming year, including AP Pre-Calculus, AP Chemistry, the University of Delaware's Antrex Lab, which is a dual enrollment course. We've added two CTE programs in K-12 Teacher Academy and Digital Communication, as well as officially adding work-based learning to our course. We have a lot of college acceptances still rolling in as students are getting those final acceptances and getting off wait lists and things like that. We have over 100 total acceptances to 50 different schools in 19 different states. The students have applied a wide variety of places. We are looking forward to celebrating them at the beginning of May with their decision day. Our seniors have also reported their merit-based aid. So far, they have reported an excess of $1.8 million. When we move to our school choice portion, we are very excited to welcome our new students for the 23-24 school year. We had a tremendous turnout at preview night, as was earlier mentioned, and we look forward to seeing all these families here in the fall. Our visiting students were also, while they were here, able to complete course selections, which allowed them to be able to not have to come back for another time and do something boring. They'll be able to come back for like the health fair and academic fair, which will be much more fun. They were able to learn about our programs and meet lots of staff and students. And any families that are interested in a personalized tour of the high school should contact our main office. We are scheduling those now for any families that were not able to make it to preview night or just want more information. And then we would also like to recognize the following accomplishments this month. Congratulations first to OCHS teacher Kiriakula Miha, our OCS team of Nikki, I'm going to say this wrong, Papadopoulou, Sydney Fowler, and Thomas Walder. Okay, yes. Participated in the AHEPA Greek History Challenge event for the Mid-Atlantic region. They were accompanied by Ms. Miha, and they did extremely well and reached the semifinals. So congratulations to them. And we also wanted to give a congratulations to OCHS teacher Melissa Tracy, who had a fantastic month. She was awarded the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Delaware Award for $35,000, the Energize Delaware Empowerment Grant for $27,000, and a separate smaller grant from Energize Delaware for $3,000, and won the Superstars in Education Award for the Food Studies Pathway. So what... You have that on your skip? Okay. And then last, I have a couple of field trips that I'm going to put forward that need to be approved. Okay. We have high school AP African American Studies class is going to go on two field trips. One is to the Museum of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, which is in Washington, D.C. And the second is to Longwood Gardens in Longwood, Pennsylvania, to view the temporary exhibit Deeply Rooted. Both of these trips will occur in May after the AP exams. We do not have tickets for them yet because they don't release this early. So as soon as we have tickets, we'll have an official day, but we will be taking the trips in May.
And what about that California trip for the...
That's already been approved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they are leaving in April. I'm very excited.
I'm sure they are.
They get to go to Disneyland, so... there's one other out-of-state trip on here. I can just say that one, too. It's two members of the CIA team are going to a literacy leadership event in Baltimore, Maryland, next Tuesday.
Right. What's the date for that?
That Tuesday. Is next Tuesday, the 21st. Yeah. All right. You want to go backwards?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Thank you very much, Ashley.
No problem.
Can I just ask one question?
Can we let Mr. Collins go first?
Sure.
I could talk to the
Should I come up?
Yeah.
So we can see you. Yes.
Okay, good evening, everybody. So a couple updates from the intermediate school. So our teachers are beginning to plan in grades 3 to 5, prepping their students and doing practice test sessions for the Smarter Balance test coming up in May. They're not teaching to the test. They are actually going to be going through the practice test so that students can get really acclimated to the actual framework as far as highlighting, dragging and dropping and so forth, and being able to click on the certain features that they have within the system, which is really important, especially for the incoming third grade students. Now they've never actually experienced Smarter Balance. As far as lab March 1st this past year, with the ongoing partnership with Special Olympics of Delaware, we did our annual Spread the Word, End the Word assembly live. And this year we were able to had 345 students and staff actually experience it live and in person within the gym. It was 13 classrooms and a large number of staff there. And we had Special Olympics gentleman there and his father and then the director and so forth. So it was a really nice event. And that's on the national day that's celebrated throughout the year, so which is great. Our school is promoting the participation in the Great Schools and Clean Streams Pledge Contest so that hopefully we can, you know, be the number one school in the state, having the most pledges and so forth, and practicing that. One thing that was put into place actually this past Monday, I was able to schedule the first time being at Odyssey Intermediate School, the opportunity for teachers in an entire grade level. So next, the 23rd, which is our grading day, the teachers will be putting their grades in the e-school in the morning, and then the afternoon I have designed and the teachers will be participating in a 45 minute to a 60 minute entire grade level PLC. So what that looks like and what that means is that is affording the teachers an opportunity in an entire grade level, which they don't have throughout the year, to be in one setting, to collaborate, to talk about not only instruction, but student supports that they're doing, you know, talk about PBS celebrations, grade level events, and really have that conversation. For example, you know, if Dr. Lakaku teaches social studies and she's in the fourth grade team of the four classes on the second floor in our building, and I'll teach social studies on the first floor and the other four cohort of the fourth grade classrooms, our schedules are opposite. We never have that common planning time. And that's very important for that professional learning community and environment. So it's going to be very low pressure. I've already designed the actual four big talking points and so forth. And then on top of that, which bringing together all teachers at all grade levels, including the Greek and the English teachers together, so they can talk about it, because they all should share the same cohorts of students, whether you're teaching Greek or you're teaching English. So this is a start for the intermediate school in having that true grade level collaboration and planning and so forth. And then the spec ed teachers will be meeting themselves, and then the specialists will be meeting themselves also and talking about successes and just anything that deals with what they do and so forth. So I'm very excited about that. As far as, let's just quickly touch on referrals, because I know that several board members have shared that there's been concerns with that and so forth. In the month of February in the intermediate school, we have 565 students currently, okay? We had 72 referrals in the month of February, and I will tell you that number is extremely misleading, because 23 of the 72 referrals were of four students, had that many, okay? That is 2% of the entire grade school population. 493 students, 87% of the entire school population, had zero referrals. So it's not, you know, when we hear and see what the monthly total is, it's 72 referrals. That's not 72 individual students getting referrals. 33 students received one referral, and most of those referrals that were put in were, you know, Johnny was coming in from recess and they kind of bumped into somebody and they bumped back and so forth. So with that all being said, we are holding students accountable with the referrals and so forth. We are continually, our administrative staff, we are continuing to work with the classroom teachers to build the partnerships with the parents and the guardians at home to really, really change behavior so students can be as successful both academically as socially in school. And we're constantly putting supports in place, tweaking those supports and so forth to really, you know, meet the needs of the students and so forth. You know, whether it's counseling, whether it's point card, whether it's check in, check out, you know, regular monitoring, you know, buddy room and so forth. So that's the general update on referrals.
That's very good information. Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Now, you said with there are four students who have like 23 incidences altogether. How do you handle those repeat offenders, but there's repeat discipline?
So that's where we've already done
and
a lot of
success with that.
Yes, that's a great question. So we've already done a lot of the tier one supports. We're moved to tier two, and now we're actually with a couple students, we're moving into that tier three level supports. That includes not only safety plans that have been developed and so forth. We're looking at higher level services. There's adult support and so forth. And we just, you know, really bringing that parent in to really, you know, talk about some other, you know, higher level supports and so forth. Yes.
And that's been effective and hopefully.
That we there is response, correct. And we're constantly tweaking that to, you know, the ultimate goal is the student then, you know, is being more successful and not having referrals and so forth. Yes, correct.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Cohen?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Wait, I'm sorry. Was it the intermediate?
Yes, sir.
School that competed in the Science Olympiad?
No. Middle.
Middle school. Sorry.
Yes.
That was all in a minute.
All right. Yes.
That's the middle school. We couldn't get anybody to actually do the A drop from the second story. So, you know.
I saw that on TV.
Yes.
Last year.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Cameron? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. And here we go. That's all I have. Oh, yeah.
Is it here?
Yep. Yeah. Do you want to share it?
Yeah. Not share it, just read it.
Yeah. Now into the back button and screen share. Find that. This is
often missing. Well, you don't have to screen share it. I can add
it. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, I like to throw things in there so they don't know what I'm using.
Keep us on our toes. See if we're paying attention.
All right, there you go.
And that's why I don't screen share either.
You're trying to define things there. Let's go back again. You know where you're
somewhere in there. Can you just put a middle school form?
Sure.
Thank you.
It's up here, but...
One more. There we go. All right. This is where I want to add that this was our first year competing in Science Olympiad. I want to put that out there. Middle school has never had a Science Olympiad team. It was coached by Mr. Nick Manolakis and Mr. Basilios. Thank you. On Saturday, March 11th.
The OCS Middle School Science Olympiad team traveled to Delaware State University to compete in the Delaware Science Olympiad competition with over 25 other middle school teams. Our team competed in 18 events and medaled in 6. As a team, OCSMS placed 15 in the state. Jayla Atebe and Milan Staples placed 10th in the state in both of their competitions, Crime Busters and Disease Detectives. Stephanie Leach and Roanne Rabaya placed 10th in the state for Write It, Do It. Chris Tricaliotis Smith and Clement Wong placed 7th in the state for Storm the Castle. Zachariah Lynn and Gabe Finch placed 6th in the state for Fight. Stephanie Leach and Peyton Headley placed 2nd in the state for the roller coaster. The entire team did an amazing job and we're proud of each and every member that worked hard in the season. Congratulations to all of them. Great. The only other thing I'd like to add is our 8th grade trip. Our 8th graders are going on a field trip to Maine event April 6th. It's here in Delaware, so that one's good. But May 30th, we would like board approval to go to Hershey Park in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
What date was that?
May 30th. That's their end of the year trip. And that's it for the middle school. No questions about Science Olympiad, right, Ken?
Nope.
That's all the information I have on it.
That's awesome.
All right.
We saw them, you know, doing their little practices. That was fabulous. Thank you very much, Adrian.
So make a motion on that.
We'll do them all together. Okay. I think we'll do them all together. All right. So far, we have high school.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Hi.
All right. So we're doing a couple more school-wide initiatives that I want to make sure everyone's aware of. One is our literacy. Every month we do a literacy event. This time we're doing the Blue Box Rocky Reading Challenge. It was organized by Ms. Ferreira, one of our teachers, and she also does some reading intervention. It's not mandatory, it is optional, but parents have gotten logs for that, and we will be giving opportunities for students to share some of what they've learned and done for students who have participated. There's information about that in the parent communication every week for any parent who's interested. We also had our Spread the Word to End the Word celebration. At the lower school, we didn't have an assembly, but we did do classroom work within the classroom in the cohort of 23. Students watched videos, reflected on inclusion, and then all signed a banner about, you know, being inclusive. And they love walking through the hall and finding their name now and seeing it posted. So it's very cute. It clearly resonated. And then we have Rock Your Socks coming up next month.
You have what coming up?
Rock Your Socks for Down Syndrome. So. Okay. Yeah. It's a we wear mismatched socks and purchase them to go to research and support. So, we're celebrating Greek Heritage and Greek Independence Day this month. So students are learning a lot about Greece in their classrooms and about specifically the influences of Greece on our country here today. We're also going to be going to the parade in Philadelphia as we do every year. COVID had put a damper on that a little bit, and it would be really great to see more people out. So we hope that families will attend along with students, and Dr. Wakaka will probably share more about that in hers. We also had a Celtic carpet come to our building to play yesterday, and students were green right before St. Patrick's Day. Mr. Hopley's actually organized that. It was his sister who played. It was wonderful. So we really appreciate that. She taught them a little bit about the house as well. So going into some discipline too for lower school student behavior, we started an initiative to try and address some of the behavior dysregulation that we have at the lower school. So we have a Hands to Ourselves initiative and No Speeding initiative that we've taken on as safety campaigns. There are posters all over the building. Parents will be getting reminders from teachers or actually shout outs from teachers for students who are doing a great job, or reminders for students who need to work on keeping their hands to themselves and using walking feet. And we're going to be hosting a school-wide incentive party for this. So right before spring break, students who have either demonstrated improvement in keeping their hands to themselves and walking through the hallways, or students who have just shown excellence in it, are going to be invited to a free dance party that we're going to be hosting. And then we will continue that every month especially right after the break when we returned, because we saw that after January, we seem to have an uptick of behaviors after that longer break. So we want to make sure everyone experiences success and gets to go to that party if they've earned it before break, and we're kind of ready to earn another one and invested in that. We have a couple parent engagement activities. So we have been, first of all, we have conferences. There were some emerging conferences held today. And then tomorrow and Friday, we do hope that all families will attend, and you administration will be there as well. So it's a great time to ask any questions if needed. We also have an admin meet and greet at the lower school on the 20th on Monday from 4:30 to 5:15 p.m. And the parents can come and meet the dean, the student advisor, and the family crisis therapist. So we talk about our code of conduct, behavior, school culture and climate, and then also the supports that we offer through the counseling program. And our family crisis therapist speaks a little bit more to that. Preview night was absolutely amazing. And the next time the families can come see the academic program on display is at the academic fair, which is on May 11th. May 11th, and that'll be school-wide, but the school-wide event that is going on. But
what was that in here?
The academic fair. Oh. So we'll have another showcase of our academic program for families who couldn't come. And we will also we're starting to plan end of the year gatherings for all classrooms. We're still a little bit ahead of the game there, but we will be inviting families to come gather together and celebrate their students this day. Move on to the next grade. We've also started some new after-school activities. The Walk Around Job Club is back in session for the spring. The Green Team has just started up as well. And we are also at a meeting with Soccer Shop tomorrow, actually. So we might be getting a spring Soccer Shops group going. And then next year, we will continue those programs. And we're already planning to add Drama Club, Coding Club, and Greek Dance Club. I can touch a little bit again on discipline data, similar to how Mr. Cohen did. At the lower schools, well, we did see an uptick in referrals after we returned in January. And so we were planning these initiatives and incentive parties to minimize that coming back from our next break. We do see, I think we have around 110 referrals since January that have gone through. And similarly, 65 of them or so are attributed to 5 students only. And we are, constantly working with and trying to support those students. We have seen some success with similar high flyers, as we call those students, with multiple referrals in the beginning part of the year. And many of those students that we've kind of extinguished those behaviors from August to December, and we're seeing mostly new students exhibit multiple referrals after January. So we're utilizing the same strategies and in some cases new ones to try and address it. We've seen some success in some cases, case by case, but overall, a couple particularly have had some success and decline. So we're continuing to adjust as needed.
Anyone have any questions?
I have a broader question. I don't know, and I'm admittedly behind in my inbox, so I may have missed it, but did we get the February data yet, like across all of the schools from a discipline perspective?
I believe so.
We filled it out.
Can someone send that to us tomorrow, please, or let us, or just link it, whatever the document is, so we make sure that we are keeping up with it, please?
I shared it with Aaron today.
Was it today, you said?
I did, yes.
Okay. Like I said, I'm behind. I've been on a plane, so I'll check it. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Any other questions for Ms. Davis, Dr. Davis? No? Thank you very much.
And? Hmm? Are you saying where all the schools are?
Yeah.
Come up.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add to any of those?
I could speak generally. I mean, I know there was there have been some concerns with the discipline data, but as you've heard in all of the cases, they're surrounded around specific students that are high flyers. And we have a code of conduct that we follow, and repeat offenders or repeat individuals do go higher up on the code of conduct scale. That's basically the way that it works until they get to the point where the code of conduct no longer has any more scales. at which point we all know where that leads. We hope that that doesn't happen to our students. We want to be able to support every single student that goes to the school and find the structures to be able to do that. Dr. DeMeo?
I just want to add, I know at the lower school, we met with the Department of Education the other day through one of their initiatives that they have to support in establishing systems for better MTSS. Well, like here's some support for social emotional. A lot of the kiddos that we're seeing at the lower school just have really big emotions and don't know what to do. I mean, I have a first grader who has big emotions and I don't know what to do with it. So we are tapping into some of the resources we have in the state to better support us and put firmer systems in place. System-wide, the whole school-wide, to really support. And if we end up doing this initiative, they'll actually guide us through it and help us with the resources to really do that.
That's good.
And Dr. Davis, correct me if I'm wrong, but are four of the five your high flyers from kindergarten?
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is something we're seeing. I mean, I'm sure other schools are seeing this. It's just a result of how everyone's cooped up for 2 years.
It is the
and they're result. Not learning. They didn't learn how to socialize.
There's maladaptive behaviors that are far beyond what could have been anticipated for students coming back in this day and age. So part of the process, and I know that Dr. Davis didn't get a chance to speak to this specifically, is again, for next year, we will not be assigning the kindergarten cohorts before school starts. They will come to school and be unassigned for the first week to 2 weeks so that we can follow the personalities and create balanced classrooms ahead of time. Because even when you move students in the middle of the year, it may positively impact one culture, but when you put the student in the other culture that's been 6 months behind the culture in that school, you've not set up that student for success at all. And the likelihood of them having not only the same behaviors, but even more manifestations it increases tremendously. So these in school or moving from one classroom to another requests has never shown, research has never shown that to be successful. Okay. That's not by and large a policy to use. Yeah.
And isolating for that student.
Yeah.
So how long is that non-homeroom going to last?
Our initial proposal is for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But we haven't vetted it out that well, and we've never tried this before, and it's very innovative. But I believe it's going to work because we're going to be able to see what the personalities look like and what the behaviors look like, and we'll be able to spread that out over all the classrooms so that they have the right supports in place, and so that the other students, you're able to find the buddy systems, develop those things that are necessary in order for them to find success.
We also are beginning to plan activities over the summer with many kindergarten teachers who are interested in volunteering to come to them so that they can get time with the families. And then so that we can learn a little bit more about more of our students. So we might even get some of that, see some of those dynamics before the year starts.
All good plans and ideas. It's all about the kids. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anything else that you wanted to add about anything?
Is there anything
I don't know.
Remind me of anything? I don't
know. No, I just wanted to. No,
I don't sure. think so.
Before you wanna, Dr. Iwana starts, I had a question. Oh, you were talking, Ashley, you were talking about, what are we talking about? Oh, some of the classes, like the AP classes. Mm-hmm. How many of those you talk about dual enrollment. How many classes or students do we have that get college credit for their?
By the end of, you mean like how many students want to take some of those classes?
Yeah, like do we have a large number that are participating?
It is a pretty large number. We were at over 60% of students had earned at least one college credit bearing course by the time they on their senior year.
Okay.
It's a large majority of students. There's a lot of students that take multiple courses.
Good.
But adding some of these courses like AP pre-calculus kind of expands the AP ability for students to take an AP math class. when if you're going into college and you're majoring in something that's not math or science based, you don't necessarily need AP calculus. Mm-hmm. But AP pre-calculus is something that can fulfill an AP math requirement or an AP math aspiration of students and still be able to allow them to focus on some of their other studies that are for other courses that are more their speed. And AP is continuing to add additional things. So they have, like, in the pipeline, there's going to be an AP anatomy and physiology course, which right now we teach as an honors course, but we could easily, like, convert that to an AP anatomy and physiology course in coming years. They're also adding AP designations to go along with CTE courses. So it really varies well with a lot of what we're doing in our CTE programming. So they're looking at adding AP courses in the business area of CTE. They're looking at adding AP courses, and they're calling it Career Kickstart, which allows for a lot of CTE courses to not only get, or they, like, our students are already getting college credit from completing CTE courses, but it will be even more so because it'll be not just dual enrollment credit through Delaware Tech, but AP, which is more widely recognized.
Explain to me again the difference between honors and AP.
Sure. An honors course is a course for students that are generally preparing for AP classes, and also for lower level courses that don't have something for an AP. So they're in the AP English, for example, for 9th or 10th graders. So the highest level courses that they can take are honors courses. At our school, we do GPA designation of 0.5 additional for honors courses and 1.0 additional for AP and dual enrollment courses. So AP and dual enrollment are college credit bearing, whereas honors are, you're getting a GPA boost, but you're not, and you're completing more difficult work and doing more accelerated timeline, but you're not necessarily working in the same college level course. There are some AP courses and dual enrollment courses that we do open to 9th graders, which is unique because most high schools do not. We allow 9th graders to take AP Human Geography in our social studies department, and we found that they've had great success in doing so, especially if they come with a strong English background, because there's a lot of reading in college courses, and it's very high-level reading. It's reading at a college level versus they're typically coming in and reading 9th grade text, and it's a lot less rigorous. So we do have students that do that, and we also allow students to take the dual enrollment on-track class, which is a University of Delaware dual enrollment course.
Right. Thank you very much.
I would like to also add that one of the things that we've identified at Odyssey Charter School and the push that we have for adding AP classes is very deliberate, because the state of Delaware does not have an approval process for honors courses. Therefore, quite frankly, schools can arbitrarily assign honors courses with a curriculum that doesn't necessarily translate nationwide to anything. So it's hard when you're competing nationally, especially when you're looking outward at other universities. If you've just taken honors classes in the state of Delaware, it's hard for the university to be able to recognize what exactly does that mean. Whereas AP designation is not up for debate. It's the gold standard. Mm-hmm. And so if we continue to, you know, proliferate with this program and add more layers to it, like pre-AP and more courses that are aligned with university acceptance nationally, that creates more competitive students for us.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Anyone have any other questions? Any board members have any other questions?
Dual enrollment is college and high school.
Yeah, that's so, when we say dual enrollment, it's because they are dually enrolled in both a college and at high school. The way that we choose to do our dual enrollment courses is that we use our faculty to teach them. There are some schools where they will send the students to the college to take dual enrollment. Typically, that happens when you have a very small number of kids taking a course. Like, you might have four kids that want to take a dual enrollment course, and you don't have the ability to put into your master schedule a course for only four kids. So send those kids, either drive themselves or drive a van or something like that, to a college to take those courses. Some schools pay university faculty to come to the school to pay or to teach the courses. That tends to result in higher fail rates just because they're not used to working with high school students. And they're also, their schedule is, it's very hard to get somebody to do that. Because we have classes every single day, and colleges do not. So it's a lot different. For our staff, our staff have to go through a process in order to teach dual enrollment. They have to be approved by the college in order to take it, in order to teach it, and they have to complete training with the college in order to continue to be eligible to teach it.
So there's more work for us up front to get a dual enrollment course versus an AP course where there's a fair amount of onus on the student at the end to pass the course to get the credit. So, where with the dual enrollment, if they do well, starting in September, they know they're going to get college credit versus the AP course where you take it all year and then may not get it.
But there's a large caveat there.
You may or may not get credit based on your...
Nobody has to take the Del State, nobody has to accept the Del State units. If you're going outside the state, there's no guarantee that...
Oh, the dual enrollments with Del State right now? Okay.
No, it's with Delaware.
Delta,
okay.
And University of Delaware.
Yeah, so you're not guaranteed that those courses will be accepted elsewhere. The AP course is guaranteed.
Okay.
Delaware Tech on their website has a list of schools that have all the guaranteed credit. And you can see, like, what they will tell you, like, which schools will accept them and what they accept them as. But the same thing goes for the AP courses. So, like, we even have in our course catalog what courses we know you need to get a 3 in or a 4 in order to get college credit at local colleges and universities that we find our students often apply to. But students can get those credits regardless. Sometimes if a student is going to a college that is not familiar with Delaware or Delaware Tech, they might not get the specific class that they took. So, like, let's say they took dual enrollment psychology. They might not get credit for their psychology intro-level course in their college, but they would be given elective credit instead of credit for the psychology course because they don't know the rigor of the class that was being taken. They would still get credit. It just might look a little bit different.
Thank you very much.
I love talking about this. So. Any other comments?
Any other questions from the board? For any of our deans? Okay, Dr. Ioana?
Have a seat. Good evening. So I'm going to start with DOE training. Our immersion homeroom Greek language teachers attended the third and last professional development session run by DOE for this year. The general topic the DOE chose for this year was inclusion in the immersion classrooms. And our teachers had the opportunity throughout the year to collaborate with other target language teachers throughout the state. So it was a very rich experience for them. I'm not going to say much about preview day, which is my second item, because almost everybody talked about the preview day. I just would like to give the feedback regarding the Greek department. We had the opportunity to answer questions about the Greek language and the Greek program very early in February. Usually we have these questions addressed to us in September. So it was a great opportunity for us to really explain and present the program. Our collaboration with schools in Greece. So we continue our partnership with Pierce College and our middle school and the American Farm School in Thessaloniki and our intermediate school. Shared projects and presentations between students that motivate both student populations, I mean our Odyssey students and the Greek students in Greece, to use the target language. And at the same time, for me that's very interesting and for the students it's very interesting, they assess the use of their mother tongue by students who learn the language as a second language. So our students read essays written in English by Greek students, and at the same time, the Greek students read essays by our students written in Greek.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a very interesting exchange also of assessment. They see that everybody makes mistakes, that it's all right to make mistakes, we need to take risks. So they see everything in action. It's a very rich experience for both student population and for our teachers as well. Last week we had our Greek program committee. We met last Wednesday, and we answered parents' questions and discussed about the future plans for immersion and for FLED K-12. About immersion in middle school, for us it's a priority this year. We plan for next year. We have been planning for months now. We work closely, of course, with DOE to prepare our cohort in middle school and with Ms. Rodriguez. So we are getting ready for middle school. With DOE, we discuss about curricula, about human resources, and also we found the best path because there are a few different models for immersion in middle school that best fits Odyssey and the human resources that we have, so curricula students that we have. Also this week, I sent out a survey to our current fifth grade families, immersion families, because I want to continue the discussion that I have with our families about their needs, about what their goals are for their kids in middle school and high school, because now we talk about secondary education overall. It's not only middle school, it's middle school and high school for our immersion students. And the discussion is really very productive. I'm very grateful to these families.
How much support do you get from the families? Like, do you get a small group? Do you get a larger group? I mean,
I sent the survey on Monday, and I have already 15 parents who replied with comments, with ideas, with questions. It's mostly with ideas about what they want to see, concerns, questions. So, it's a very open discussion about what they want from us. For the immersion program, and we work in a very harmonious way. Next is Greek Independence Day, a huge, big month for the Greek department. So Odyssey, of course, will participate in the big parade in Philadelphia. This year is on April 2nd. Everybody listen, April 2nd.
It's Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
Calendars.
So formation in Philadelphia starts at 1 o'clock. The parade begins at 2 o'clock. Information about the parade has been posted in parent communication over the last week. It's going to be again this week in social media, on Schoology, by email to all students, and here, of course. This year we will have with us the high school color guard, and we are very happy about that. And we aim in general to have a larger representation of our school from students and staff. So everybody over there is welcome. Please join us. Look at the parent communication for the link to sign up for free transportation from Odyssey. We're going to leave the school at 12 o'clock to be on time in Philadelphia.
And the parade starts at noon, at 2, right?
At 2, yes. And all students participants will have a free dress down day the next day on Monday the 3rd. Two more. So we are very happy about the visit. I think I have talked about this again, but we are coming closer now. The Socrates Academy from North Carolina is visiting Odyssey in March 27th, 8th, and 9th. We created a program for a schedule for these 3 days. We shared it with them. They're very happy. So we work now on the details. Everything is ready for this visit. We are going to visit all 4 schools, both programs, Greek and American. So it's going to be a very extensive visit. And we have planned also times for discussion with them, because we want also to see what they do in Socrates. They want, of course, to see what we do here. So we anticipate a very rich discussion. The board, of course, is welcome. I'm going to send you the schedule if you can make it.
Sure.
And the last but not least, I have more details because it's not the first time that I talk about this, is the high school summer program from Harvard. So the Harvard Center of Hellenic Studies in Maplion has its summer program again this year. It's going to be from June 29th to July 14th. It's a week in Maplion, and usually we add a couple of days in Athens, so our students have the opportunity also to visit Athens, the Acropolis, the museum there, and everything. We posted the information for our high schoolers. The submission deadline is end of March. So I encourage all high schoolers who are interested in this occasion to apply. It's not only about GPA, it's mostly about the answers that they are going to provide to the questions from Harvard. So please, all high schoolers, think about it. It's a huge opportunity. We're going to send one student and one staff member.
And how is this cost covered? Is this covered for the student and the staff member?
It's from that school.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
Anyone have any questions for Dr. Lukaku? Any questions? Okay, thank you, Dr. Lukaku.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve all the out-of-state travel. I'm pretty sure we approved the buses for the parade on April 2nd, but we'll lump it in there. It's the AP high school trips to National Museum and Longwood, and then the eighth grade trip to Hershey Park at the end of May.
And there's two people going to Baltimore. There was an out-of-state travel to Baltimore,
for there it is, yep.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
I second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, we'll take that as not. That wasn't opposed. We got it, Erin. motion carried. Thank you very much and have fun. Okay.
I have one more Greek announcement.
Yes, go ahead.
Very exciting announcement. For the first time in the history of our school, the ambassador from Greece to the United States will be visiting Odyssey Charter on March 30th from 10 to 11 a.m. We welcome, everybody to attend. We would like to see board members there as well to greet the ambassador and show off all the wonderful programming that we have here, and so that she can go back to Greece and let the Greek government and the Stavros Niarchos Foundation know exactly who we are.
Especially. Yeah. So you'll send out an agenda so we can.
We're working on that right now. Senator Mantzoukas will be hosting us that day as well.
I know you sent out an email today about the flag raising. We haven't heard from Michael. Usually that happens like the Friday, around that Friday, but probably before, since Greek Independence Day is the 25th. So we're waiting to hear from the mayor's office. As to when that will be, so we will get a good turnout for that as well.
We will prepare a small program for this day, so we'll have some poems, we'll have a national anthem, a song, so we'll have something more than the other years.
Wonderful.
Small program for our students.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, now we get on the fun stuff.
I don't know, that was more fun than what I'm being
facetious.
Thank you. That gracious introduction. I'm gonna try to keep everyone awake. There's three things we're gonna go over today, two for action. I'm gonna start with the normal monthly report. I'm gonna talk a little bit about some of the debt restructuring options that were kind of discussed earlier. And then I'm gonna go over the highlights from the final budget for this current fiscal year. As a formality for board approval. Like I said, we went over the details in the finance committee meeting, but this is more of an overview level at this point. So we'll start with the monthly report. So we'll be talking about the monthly finance report for February 28th, 2023. That represents 7 months of the fiscal year, or 67%. The preliminary budgeted revenues, which will change once the final budget has been approved, as we've discussed, is $41.3 million. Revenues collected to date are $40.8 million, or 98.7% of the budget. Revenues received during February are generally pretty standard operating revenues that we'd expect for this point of the fiscal cycle. On the expenditure side, the preliminary budget expenditures are $33.7 million, and expenses to date are $23.8 million, representing 70.8% of the budget, pretty similar to where we are in previous years. And this is the monthly web report. A couple highlights. Ms. Lipson already kind of sung the praises of Melissa Tracy. I just want to reemphasize how amazing and what she's been able to do for her innovation and the programming of the school. Our thank yous are never enough. Yes, another round of applause. The final portion of the CSD settlement funds were received in our local district transfers. Our annual appeal, health and wellness fair, and athletics golf outing fundraisers are underway. As we'll discuss, the viable financing options for upcoming capital project items were in the exploration process, with local banks and CFDI firms providing options that align with the school's current debt timeline. Adjustments in volume variable programming explained in the final budget. To date, $1.1 million of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminary budgeted amount of $1.8 million, which will be increased to $2.4 million with the final budget. The projected year-end cash on hand is $8 million, of which $7.2 million is unrestricted and $798,000 is restricted for federal fund usage. Any questions on the monthly report?
Any questions? Okay, do I hear a motion?
I move we accept the February monthly report for publishing.
Second. All seconds. Thank you very much. Any discussion? All in favor? Say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right, now I'm going to discuss from a higher level what we've been talking about for the potential of debt restructuring that could allow new money to be borrowed at a rate that would not impact our current debt service amounts. So our financial consultants, Peter Spahn and Brian Colon of Baird, have been working with us in what options we have given where we are currently standing with our investors and our desire to refinance our bonds ahead of the call date of February 1st, 2025. At that point, February 1st, 2025, we will likely obtain a rating from a rating agency, S&P Poor, or S&P or Moody's, and then take those bonds out to the market so that we can get a market value for those. This is in lieu of doing that. So this company called Equitable Facilities Fund is a nonprofit social impact fund for high-performing public charter schools. They combine philanthropic funds with private capital to provide our partner schools with long-term fixed-rate loans at the best terms possible. The projects eligible for EFF financing include refinancing existing debt, construction, acquisition of land or facilities, and expansion projects. So essentially, this company or this fund, which is backed by the Walton Foundation to the tune of about $100 million, is able to take their AAA rated bonds and ability to go to the market for schools that don't have the ability to do so themselves. And instead of being given a rate of junk bond status or something of those lines, you're getting the rating of what they would be able to get in the open market. Generally speaking, these types of funds, which are out there, this is not the only one, are more in the business with charter schools that would have a higher free reduced lunch rate than we see in Newcastle County, generally speaking, or that are unable to get funding independently on their own. What has changed is, A, from a volume standpoint, our school, even at the free and reduced lunch rate that we're at, from raw numbers, is probably the size of most charter schools are in general. Because right now we're at north of 2,000 students with, you know, a free and reduced lunch rate that's published at around 30%. So that raw number they were able to speak to, being able to help us better serve the community in general. The other piece is, as Elias mentioned, and we're seeing, the markets are flipping in such a way that they're actually looking for people to invest money in, especially those with the financial backbone that we currently have at this time and have had for the last couple of years. You know, so at the advice of our consultants, we did an initial inquiry, and they have relationships with these different funds because, you know, Brian Colin at Baird does deals with all sorts of funds with all sorts of schools, and he knows this fund well. And they took a look under the hood and liked what they saw as far as Odyssey goes. We were able to quell any questions that they had regarding, you know, underlying numbers and governance and anything of that ilk. And we are through the initial green lighting phase that they have. So we got word of that just yesterday, that at this point we can put a formal application together for a term sheet to be provided. The timelines they give are about 3 to 4 weeks on those term sheets being available. And then from there, another 4 to 8 weeks on closing. But, you know, we'll know more of that once we get into that process. So that's sort of become plan A as far as the best way in the near term to look at restructuring our debt that would allow us to create new borrowing at our current debt service rate. And what's unique about these opportunities is our investors are still made whole for the deal that they have. So, you know, there's not something that would come back denied or something along those lines that we would have the flexibility to go through with something like this. It's kind of a win-win for us and for our current investors.
And we think that this is something that they would approve and they go along with. Like, do they have any say in it?
That's kind of what I'm alluding to, is I'm not positive they do have a say. That because the terms of their bond is not being impacted, that
we can just pay it off and not have any.
Correct. And that's what EFF does. It basically just goes into a almost kind of like an escrow of sorts at the treasury bond, essentially, and they're made whole. So, you know, generally speaking, these funds didn't exist a long time ago. They've sort of popped up relatively recently, the last few years, especially with the tax law change for advanced refundings for tax exempt bonds have came with the in 2018. And generally speaking, these funds, we haven't been attracted to these funds, both from our demographic standpoint and from our fiscal standpoint. So it's a great opportunity. So we're still working through the details of what kind of rates that would be in play. And we're going to work on finishing that application process and obviously include the board and some of that. So, and then take it from there. We've also been working with local banks to talk about if we wanted a complete capital project, such as the turf field, in the interim between now and the February 1st call date for our current bonds, the ability to borrow in a short term that could then be rolled into a bond refi at that time. We've talked to two banks that have also greenlit something like that. Complications in those situations generally become collateral, as our current investors have collateral on the property of the campus. So those types of details need to be worked out with our investors, and that's where they do have a say of additional borrowing and how that collateral may work. So I know that's kind of a lot and a little bit in the weeds, but are there any questions about where we're at right now?
Hey, Jeff, I'm sorry I had to miss that call last week. When you say that they would be made whole, are we prepaying the interest that would be due if we paid to maturity, or are we saying that it would look like a payoff at whatever moment in time, and instead of refining, it's a totally separate engagement.
So the details of sort of how those logistics will go is still not 100% clear. We'd be working through with our financial consultants on how it would work. But my understanding is that EFF would essentially take that on to continue the payments to them at the current agreements. And that's where the grant comes in of how they're backed. So they would be basically investing it somehow in the interim between now and then, and they'd be continued to keep our investor, make the payments that are owed.
So they would sort of pay the delta between what we could pay at
exactly
their credit rating and what our current deal is at. Is that right?
That's my understanding.
Okay. What are the next steps on that?
So the next steps are completing the formal application, because at this point we completed their initial inquiry form. So the application obviously has sort of the same things that we provide to the state as a part of our annual report, retention rates, enrollment, audited financials. It will include sort of a business strategic plan for the next couple of years, as well as the sources and uses of the funds that we're hoping to refinance and new borrow.
Okay. Is there an application
fee? Some of the things, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, is there an application fee?
No, okay. There's not.
Cool. Awesome.
Some of the details that we're working out with them, with our consultants, is the likelihood we'd be able to take our current 20-year bonds and make them 30-year bonds, or what kind of rates we could actually get against the current market based on our fiscal metrics. It'll likely lead to us needing to do a rating, but not necessarily. This may be in lieu of a rating. There's also good things that would come from an agreement like this, where we wouldn't have quite the same covenants. There'd probably be similar debt coverage ratios and days of cash on hand, but some of the more unique aspects of our current investing, including some of the funds that they hold in escrow on an annual basis when we make our payment, it's structured in a way that's definitely more favorable for our bottom line.
And there's no cost to us for this, right?
Not up front. I mean, likely there would be costs for closing a new bond deal, just like, legal fees and things of that nature, which is why it's also attractive that in this, we would hope to roll everything up together, both the bond refi and new money ask all in one deal. Whereas if we do a bond refi now and borrow new money later, those become two separate transactions. Almost like if you were buying and selling your house too soon, you would basically have more closing costs associated with it. So I believe in some of all the projections that Baird is able to provide us for current present value savings we could see at the current market rates, they include sort of the closing costs as a part of that.
Any other questions for Jeff? Any other questions?
And if you think of something later, feel free to email me and we can spend a little more time on that.
Thank you.
All right, now I'm going to get into the final budget proposal. I'm going to work through the revenue side, expenditure side, and then talk generally at where we are as a whole on the metric side. So for the revenue side, as we know, our enrollment was 2,123 students as of September 30th of 2022.
How much?
2,123. For our state operations funding, though minimal enrollment decreased from the budgeted number, state operating funds increased $156,000 from the preliminary budget due to increased CTE minutes and increased anticipated unit allocations. Additionally, increases in other state revenue attributed to additional funding for enhanced minor capital, as well as a marginal increase to the state's portion of the 27th pay allocation. Overall, state revenues are $463,000 higher than the preliminary budget. Lastly, the safety and security grant funding through the state was $101,000 of that 463, which was funded as state revenue. In transportation, we adjusted the contractor revenue up $350,000 based on increased number of routes provided to outside agencies and schools. In the local district transfer, we adjusted revenue up $625,000 from the preliminary budget. In aggregate, projected local funding increased on a per pupil basis by approximately 7 to 8%, The preliminary budget assumed a projected 1.5% increase. In addition, we began to receive interest payments that were not included in the preliminary budget because based on the market, the state hadn't been providing that in 2 years. Interest rates are way up. And the federal funding and the associated expenses have been added to the budget in the grants department. Total additional funding is $700,000. Though the safety and security grant was categorized as a state revenue rather than federal, the largest increases from the expansion grant, $750,000, and the SSSIP grant, $54,000. This final budget assumed the total spend down of these new federal grants. However, the likelihood of that is low given some of the project timelines, i.e. the high school elevator and the high school entrance revamp. This carryover would lead to a larger end of year cash balance, but would not impact the unrestricted cash balance that our metrics are based upon, similar to what we did with the ESSER funds last year. Cafeteria revenue has been adjusted as a decrease of $135,000 to reflect the decrease in the meals provided on a daily basis. As this was our first year coming out of the COVID free meal program, there was some uncertainty as to what levels the food service program would see from that perspective. On the expenditure side, for school operations, salary projecting forward based on the February 10th pay cycle with minor adjustments and allowing for degree changes and other potential items. Subcategories of personnel costs being evaluated for consistency purposes with any changes determined coming in FY24. The preliminary budget for grants included all-in costs for employees covered in the salary portion of the budget. We anticipated there would be a swapping of categorical budgeting, which we are seeing. Health insurance costs rose for FY23, which equates for another portion of the increase over the preliminary budget amounts. Also, the cost of units are slightly higher than initially anticipated, leading to higher salary expense to match the increase in state revenue per unit. Temporary employment services increased by $325,000, and substitutes, OCS substitutes, increased by close to $50,000. This portion of expenses is by far the largest variance from the preliminary budget. As mentioned during the monthly report updates, some positions have been covered by substitutes during the school year. In addition, substitutes were utilized to fill academic vacancies to start the school year, as well as mid-year staff departures. Some of the increased expense will be covered by the state's reimbursement for the substitutes related to PPL purposes. Also, redundancy was added to the lower school operations in November to assist with behavior and instruction through roles such as classroom aides, supplemental supervision, and bathroom and hall monitors. Reprogramming to reduce this need is being completed by the principal and the head of schools. We reduced our legal budget by $30,000 based on year-to-date actuals and projections. Medical services were increased by $44,000 to meet the demand for our contracted services for speech, psych, OT, and PT. And equipment was decreased $70,000 as the placeholder for the offsetting revenue and expense for $60,000 for the capital campaign and subsequent purchase was reduced to $15,000 to cover the playground purchase, which was supported by our PTO. Then the business office reviewed the preliminary budget with actual trends of other departments, which were amended as necessary, and some of the highlights are as follows. In athletics, we decreased the capital items as there was a pause while capital planning for the school is being discussed, specifically another order of bleachers. Food service, the purchase of food is volume-based, but costs have continued to rise, so food expense is up slightly. Additionally, substitute services have been utilized to assist with outages and mid-year staff departures. In facilities, savings are being recognized for building maintenance items and snow removal of approximately $80,000. This is offset by increases in utility costs and increases in custodial supplies due to increases in demand for sanitary materials within the building and from a budget recalibration for invoice reclassification. The $213,000 of the enhanced minor capital received has been added to the facility's capital budget for the renovation for additional classrooms in buildings 26, 23, and 20. If not completed during FY23, they can be carried to FY24. In transportation, increases in personnel from increased redundancy to acquire additional contracting work. Decreases in equipment repair are offset with increases of purchases of replacement parts. In aftercare, personnel needs are volume-based, and the current volume levels are higher than the preliminary budget had assumed. For the St. Thomas property, tenant rental income is decreased while negotiations for an agreement of sale or amended rental agreement are being discussed. Also, debt service has increased as it's a variable rate loan, $100,000 negative impact to the budget at this time. So in general, the ending cash balance before spending any of the state required contingency would be 7.96 million. The budget represents a net income of a negative 670,000. As a reminder from the preliminary budget, the net income amount being negative was planned as the school spends its front-loaded federal grant funding over the three-year span of the grant, the ESSER III ARP funds. Though days of cash on hand have decreased between the preliminary and final budgets from 86 to 80, the debt coverage ratio increased from 1 to 1.12 to meet the covenants. Unrestricted cash at the end of FY23 is projected to be $215,000 higher than the unrestricted cash at the end of FY22. Some potential increases in revenue that we could possibly see that are not recognized in this final budget are any deferred rent and revenue received or sale of property and additional fundraising efforts. That is all I have for the final budget proposal.
Are there any questions?
I didn't look at the details of the budget yet, and I apologize for that, but is roofing in there?
It is not for this fiscal year, because our discussion with the roofers was that it would likely need to be a summer project. So we'll see that in the preliminary budget for FY24.
Okay.
And that will likely be, again, a lot depending on our current relationship with our current investors, but we probably offset that with a draw from our repair and replacement fund to cover those costs.
Okay.
Do we know what a per pupil cost is to put the dollar one?
On the local side or just all together?
The local side is what we pay and then the state is.
So the local side is the amount we would receive from the district that the student feeds from. Mm-hmm. And then the state side is based on the units we earn per our enrollment figures and their if there's any special support service designation for those students. I would say, and I can get a more precise number, but on average it's around $13,000 combining the two, local and state.
And how many buses do we have right now?
24?
Yeah. Okay. Any
That's
with the new ones that we just bought?
Yeah, that's when they arrive. My hoping is next week.
Next week?
That's the hope, yeah.
Does anyone have any questions for Jeff? Okay.
I appreciate your time. So yeah, if you're able to maybe make a motion on this one. Unless there's more,
we need a motion on the proposed budget.
I move we accept the final budget proposal as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, motion carried unanimously.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your hard work.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Okay, and now we have our committee reports. CPOC, I think they didn't meet this.
That was postponed for this month. Yeah, that was we'll meet again next month.
Diversity, equity, I don't think they have anything. I don't think any of our chairs are on tonight. Greek program, we heard from Dr. Ioana and all the wonderful things are going on. Finance, we just heard. I don't think there's anything else we can add there. Fundraising and development. I think we're kind of stalled right there for now, don't we? Aren't we?
I think as far as the committee goes, I think it's been a while since we met.
Yeah, we need to get moving on figuring ways to get more.
I think that could be another.
We need to see if you want to get more people involved and sort of revamp it and start. Yeah, because we've been a little defined.
And not just we need to get some of our parents involved because there's a lot of people out there who have contacts who can help us out with our fundraising events. I think we need to just set up what our goals are and what our objectives are and just find out how we can reach some of the deep pockets that are out there that can support us because we have a lot of needs. Okay, going on. Accountability, nothing, we we haven't been meeting, but if anyone has anything that they want to discuss with us, please reach out to any of us, Aaron or Helen, Ken, I. Safety and security, anything happening with the safety and security of our school?
We're updating the doors and we're getting new doors for the front of 23. That project's in place. We're taking out the revolving doors over here on Friday.
Thank God.
And so that'll help improve over here as well. We are looking in the budget to figure out ways to be able to have a permanent solution for the front over here for our security personnel that we have.
I love the little house. Thank goodness we got that. Yeah. I kind of was a couple months ago, but I love that.
And then that's kind of where we're at right now with the safety and security.
And I know that the elevator is one of the projects because I know there's been some discussion about the need for the elevator in high school.
It's moving forward. Hopefully somebody will be selling one.
Architects have been contracted and they're working on developing the with our facilities manager John Stewart sort of the plan there.
Nice to see John Stewart, by the way, here. Good to see you, John. Thanks for coming and being here.
And they also are going to employ a structural engineer or mechanical or both for the elevator project.
The elevator project, the architectural firm is actually designing the elevator shaft tower, and there'll be a structural engineer involved in it for connection to the building and taking out certain walls of the building in order for the elevator lobbies. So they're designing that right now, and they're working with Delaware Elevator on laying out the elevator design.
And what architectural firm are we working with?
I'm sorry.
Tetra Tech.
Tetra Tech.
And that'll be installed, what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Is that a like midsummer project?
Honestly, we're still kind of working on what the details will be like and the timeline. Because once we have a design laid out, we'll put the construction of the shaft out to bid. And from there, we'll kind of get a better idea on what the costs will be. And so we cover within that federal grant and what the timeline might be.
Okay.
We know that for the use of that grant for that specific project, we need to encumber the funds by September 30th of 2023 to be spent by November 30th of 2023. So we're moving as fast as we can.
Okay. Just pay the contractor in advance. It'll be fine.
We will not do this.
That's always a good plan. Strategic planning. I know Elias has been talking with some different people, companies. So hopefully we'll get something on that shortly. PTO, is anyone on from PTO? No. Anything else that any other committees that I missed or anything anyone want to add to committees? Yeah, I like that. Old business we've been discussing. Is there any new business?
The calendar.
We need to. That's right. The calendar was sent around for approval. Hopefully, everyone has had an opportunity to look at that. Did we always have off for Greek Independence Day? Pretty nice. I didn't get off that when I was in school. Very good. Do I hear a motion?
I move we accept the calendar as presented.
Sure.
Second.
Paul seconds it. Is there any discussion, any questions about the calendar? Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Ken?
And thanks for getting that to us. Probably.
In advance, yeah. So it's always helped.
Kudos to Juliana Sheehan there.
Juliana did a great job.
Great video.
Thanks for the video.
That was really cool. Great way to present. Okay, where are we? Good of the school.
I think we care.
Our school is doing pretty well. I think we're in good shape. We had a lot of good news today. Did we need to go into executive session for anything?
Maybe just super quick.
Okay, we will have a quick executive session. But does anyone have anything they want to offer before we go into executive sessions? No? Okay. Then I would entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Motion to go into executive session.
Paul? And
upon the written confirmation that it will be quick.
Three sentences.
More good.
And 10 seconds.
A second.
Okay. Right. Good night. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate it. There was no voting or decisions made in executive session, so there is nothing to reveal. Last call. Anyone have anything they want to present or say? Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will be adjourned.
And Paul seconds. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Approved. See you all in a couple of weeks. I'll let you know. I'll look at the calendar and we'll get whatever we need. So we're looking probably around the 29th, maybe. That's the Socrates. I don't know if we want to do it then. That's when Socrates doesn't matter. Okay, maybe the 29th.
It's kind of
during the day. Yeah. Okay, we'll do it somewhere the week of the 27th. So send me your availability so we can try to get the best date. All right, see you all. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.